Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, coming up in about 5 minutes, John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, lead analyst for Fox Baseball, and he's going to join us in about 5 minutes. Smoltzy, one of my favorite pitchers, actually. Ebony had some good stuff. He could spin.
Smoltz was so good that he pitched with two other guys that also won Cy Youngs, but Maddux won four in a row. And some people might have said that Smoltz was better. Like on a given day, in a playoff game, Smoltz could be more dominant than Maddux. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I think Smoltz was more dominant than Maddux. Maddux was...
Well, it's because he threw 90, but...
Maddux threw hard early in his career, too. He really learned to pitch over the course of his career. I'm not saying he didn't know how to pitch when he was young, but as you notice, with a guy like Greg Maddux, is once he lost a little bit of velocity, he didn't really skip a beat because he was pitching with his mind, Evan.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot there to start with. I think he threw like 94 in the minors.
What would you top out at?
About 10 miles an hour less. But I also didn't have a fastball that, like, he could make a fastball do whatever. He had it on a string. Like, he could beat you with just a cutter, two-seam, four-seam. Maddux, God. I mean, some of those old games.
Is he your favorite pitcher of all time?
No.
Oh, let me guess.
I bet you couldn't for the life of you guess my favorite pitcher of all time.
Well, it's not anybody in the, I'm going to assume it's in the modern era. I would say
that's not in the dead ball era.
Pedro Martinez.
No.
Okay. Give me a league.
Vita Blue.
Pitched for both. He's too old. I didn't watch Vita Blue.
He's too old.
How would I get his?
Evan's too young.
I've met Vita Blue. Blue Moon Odom, also a very nice man. I met both those guys, but no, I never watched them.
Oh, I know who it was.
Your favorite player cannot be someone you haven't seen pitch.
Okay, so I know that you were an A's fan. I'm going to say Justin Dukeschirer.
That's great pronunciation. Great pronunciation, but no. No, it's not Justin Dukes.
Oh, Van Poppel. Todd Van Poppel.
No.
Okay. You know, it's not going to be somebody like Curt Schilling.
He pitched for the Giants. He did pitch for the Giants.
Hershiser.
No. Einstein, I had to have watched them pitch when I was alive.
Tim Hudson.
There he is. Yeah.
Tim
Hudson. My favorite.
A little bulldog.
Yeah. Auburn, Southern guy. I think he's still the pitching coach there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tim Hudson was a dog. Oh, had a great sinker. Made 200 innings a year. Got stepped on, unfortunately, but
What does that mean? He got stepped on.
Well, he broke his ankle on a play at first base where he was trying to cover. He got his foot caught on the bag and he got stepped on and broke his ankle. Still came,
by Eric Young Jr.
Yeah. Still came back. Won 16 games. I mean, he dominated for multiple teams. No, not Joe Blanton, Zucci Mane, but good guess.
Joe Blanton. Let me tell you something about Joe Blanton.
Lost a lot of games.
He also, I'm going to say, when did the A's go to the postseason? 12, 13, 14?
Yeah. Wasn't on those teams. He was mid-2000s.
Check the records.
Are you thinking of Trevor Cahill?
No, I'm not thinking of him. I want to say Joe Blanton was on those teams.
Joe Blanton pitched for the A's from 2004 to 2008.
And then he came back, right?
He did not. Never did come back, Steiny.
When did they make the postseason between 04 and 08?
06. They lost in the ALCS.
Right. And I'll bet that year he had 15 wins at least.
He had 16.
Exactly. Like he had a year.
he had a couple years. He wasn't a bad pitcher.
He probably led the team back when wins mattered. He won in the teens, I want to say, 3 or 4 years.
Won 101 games.
Also had almost a 5 ERA.
What's your point, Risotto?
Well, back then, past the steroids era, things were a little bit more inflated. It was a great team.
I did like those A's teams from 12, 13, and 14.
Who's your favorite pitcher of all time, Steiny?
Ron Guidry. Had the greatest year of any pitcher in my lifetime or yours.
That's not true.
Denny McClain. Well, I'm not counting McClain because that was 69. I'm talking about 1978.
When were you born?
64, but I wasn't.
Then that counts.
No, I didn't watch Denny McClain. I just started watching baseball when I was young.
Like that's 30-game winner.
Okay, find me a better year for a starting pitcher than 25-3 with a 1.74 ERA. Night-night. And don't say Dwight Gooden. He was 24-4.
2014 Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, please. He was beatable.
He had a 1.74. He won 21 games and 21-3.
Okay, not quite as good. Same ERA, but Guidry had more wins, fewer losses.
Did Guidry win MVP that year?
He might have.
I don't think
so. Well, that's when they didn't give it to pitchers.
Because they don't deserve it.
The other thing,
he finished second that year. He won the Cy Young.
Oh.
The other thing about Guidry is he pitched well in the postseason.
That's true. You got me there.
Got a lot of help from Craig Nettles. Greg Nettles. G-R-A-I-G.
Take Verlander and 11 over him. You think Verlander's got anything left? He's pitching tonight, by the way.
I think he'll... how many starts has he made? Like six?
Verlander?
This year? 4 to 6?
I feel like he's made more than that. No?
10.
Yeah, 10 starts.
Really?
Now, does he have a win? That's the question. He has...
Nope.
He's 0-3. He's been a product of some bad luck. You know what? Actually, and I know we got to talk to a Hall of Famer here in a minute, but I do think that Verlander's, he's very happy to see Rafi Devers in third tonight when he's on the bump.
Somebody saying Bob Welch, Oakland Athletics. I want to say that he went 27-5. See, Risotto, I love doing this. I could do it for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, but he wasn't the best pitcher on that team.
Well, of course he wasn't.
That was Dave Stewart.
But I want to say Bobby Welch, 27-5. 27-5. He went 1 year.
Yeah, 1990.
Oh, I was looking at Rafael Devers' stats against Justin Verlander.
Those don't matter.
Well, they're not going to have to hit against each other or play against each other. They're on the same team.
27-5?
Who is it?
Bob Welch.
Bobby Welch. And then I want to say, you know, there weren't many 25-game winners in my lifetime. Guidry, of course, won. Bob Welch, another one.
27-6 with a 2.95 ERA.
Okay, I want you to look up another guy. Steve Stone? He might have gone 25-7 1 year.
Steve Stone, who Dwayne Kuiper's only career home run came off of.
Is this John?
Did he ever?
And he went 25-7 in 1980.
What I need you to do is lock in right now. No, I need you to lock in.
Tell you what, I'm going back to the 80s with Smoltz. You best believe it. What if he might have struggled a little bit in the 70s, Smoltz. Where's my read? I'm getting a little nervous. He's a Hall of Famer. We got him? All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Hall of Famer John Smoltz, current lead analyst at Fox, but he's participating in the American Century Championship. He does that often up in Tahoe at Edgewood. He'll be joining a bunch of other celebrities, Steph Curry, Charles Barkley, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Jerry Rice. John, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, my pleasure. And real quick, that is the absolute jewel of golf and celebrity golf. So between the All-Star Game and that, it's the perfect timing in the middle of the year, perfect place. And boy, it's buzzing in your area right now in San Francisco, I would imagine.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And real quick, before I get to the baseball, are you you better than Jerry Rice at golf?
I currently am. Jerry is a very good golfer, but I'm trending in the right direction. I say that a lot, but I better win this thing soon because I'm tired of coming up close.
We set the over under at your golf rounds a year at 200.
That's a great number, and I think it's over.
All right.
Wow.
Congratulations. You're living a great life, John. all right, let's get to the Devers trade out here. Your initial thoughts when you saw that Devers was coming to San Francisco.
Well, I just covered the Yankees and Red Sox for Fox, and I had heard all the stories. I don't know all the facts. I think it leads to why this thing happened, but man, kudos to San Francisco on pulling this off. I just think that where they're at, nobody expected this kind of season, although Buster is going to bring a whole different vibe to the organization, and they're having a great year. It's been magical. The amount of one-run games and just the things they're able to pull off right now in the beast of a division. And with the Dodgers, you know, this is pretty incredible to pull off this shocking trade and feel like you have just signed the one free agent you weren't able to get over the last 3 years is what San Francisco needed. And to have it smooth that quick in what might have been a contentious or tough emotional breakup from a player that had signed a big contract. So I'm not shocked in what Buster and the Giants are able to do. I guess I'm more looking at this from afar going, wow, this just happened.
John, you were on a lot of great Braves team, but in 1993, you guys acquired Fred McGriff in a trade. What kind of impact when you guys get an MVP-like talent, a slugger like McGriff, like Devers, how much can that add to a clubhouse? And take us inside, what's it like when you see that someone of that caliber is joining your club?
Yeah, typically this happens later, and it's in the dog days when you have an injection of energy that your ball club realizes that the management thinks you got a chance and here's what they've done. I'll never forget that trade because it was the single most reason why we went on a roll and we got to the playoffs and did the things we had to do with Freddie. I mean, he was perfect for our ball club. And I think of it in the same way with any ball club that gets a shock to their system and goes, we just added this guy. Now, with that, you always lose certain players because you got to give them up. But when you think about the player that's coming to your organization, that you know what it adds and what the instant impact's going to be, you can't help but be energized. And look, you can't always make every right decision in baseball and have those years filled out perfectly on paper. You have to have some feel, and you got to have a culture, and you got to have things that aren't quantified on a analytical scale. All these things matter. And when you get a player like Rafael Devers to your ball club in a place where it's known as pitchers friendly and maybe not so much hitter friendly, you basically have put a shot of adrenaline in your clubhouse that typically works out pretty well.
John Smoltz joining us on 95.7 The Game, Hall of Fame right-hander. You can hear him on Fox doing baseball. Let me ask you about, Buster Posey obviously is the president of baseball operations. Farhan Zaidi before him. We've heard some stuff about Boston with Breslow. My question to you is this. I mean, you know, John Schuerholz is a guy who has had become a household name because he was your guys' GM when you guys were, making your run. How important is it to the guys in the clubhouse of what a GM is? I mean, what's the connection there? I get it that they make moves to bring guys in, but how important is a player's relationship with the general manager?
Well, you're only going to have a couple relationships out of 25 with a general manager that it's tough to get close to a general manager because he's got a tough role and a tough job. And some do it really well and some don't when it comes to the person side of it. And, I've had a lot of different experiences of which 21 years with one club, but I think you've got to have an identity of who your ball club is and what you're trying to accomplish, right? If you're talking about a team and a general manager has been in last place for most of their lives, it's not fun and it's not believable. But when you have identity and you have a culture that you're creating, and go back to, you can't quantify that. People don't know how to understand. You hear people all the time of analytic world, like, what does culture mean? What does clutch mean? Those don't mean anything. And they don't understand. So if you can blend what your eyes and experiences bring to all the knowledge that's in the game and technology, I think that's a great thing. But if you only use your eyes, or if you only use technology and analytics, I don't think you're getting ahead of the game. I think you're falling behind. And so, you know, John Schuerholz was smart enough as our GM to keep pitching together as long as possible. And you could add and subtract along the way and not miss too much because Glavin, Maddox, myself were there for 15 years, 10 to 15 years. And so what Buster brings, he brings the experience. He brings a different generation of baseball. He's almost a crossbreed. Like when he started and when he finished, there's two generations of baseball that have taken place and how it's played. And I think he has balance. And when you have balance, you bring about instantly in spring training kind of everyone breathes a sigh of relief. Like they don't have to be so stringent on so many different aspects of analytics. And they can have fundamentals and fun and culture and all those things that are, I think, at times just misunderstood. So I think it's a big thing. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I think that's why San Francisco is in pretty good hands when it comes to a guy like Buster.
Last one for me, John, and I really appreciate you being gracious with your time. You call the World Series and have for a long time. You see what it's like when the best of the best compete against each other. And you've also been yourself a World Series champion. If I was to ask you with this Devers trade what the ceiling of the San Francisco Giants is this season, you would say what to that?
I would say they feel legitimized. I think up until this point, players are never going to admit, and I would do the same thing if I was an active player. You know where your warts are, you know where your strengths are, and you know what's coming down the road, right? Let's just say you're having an unbelievable year, but you know trends won't continue. What did they win, like six straight one-run games? Like,
yep. Yeah.
There are outlying years, but you can't live by that model. You can't think you're going to win 25 to 30 one-run games and just keep winning them. But if you build that culture and you build the team and you start getting confidence in the area of your ball club that you know are strengths and the weaknesses don't eke out, then you're good. And so when you get a Devers, you can't help but think, oh, man, that just added a bat. We lost this guy, but then we gained this guy. And when Chapman comes back and when things are falling in place, you now feel like you can compete against rosters that might be a little better than you. I mean, the Dodgers, look, it is what it is. They have the best roster if they're healthy, but they're not always healthy. And they got injuries through the roof. So you start thinking we can play with anybody when you start adding players like Devers. And, you know, we knew we were good enough on the pitching front to handle anybody. But I don't think we were good enough to win as many championships as we should have based on our offense. Mm. So it comes hand in hand, right? You give yourself a competitive chance, and if breaks go your way and you don't lose your first eight World Series games by one run each, which is what we did, we could be talking about the amount of championships we had. So the game that's played today, the San Francisco Giants, in this season, I think are seizing the moment, knowing you don't know how many moments you're going to have against a stacked division or stacked roster. And I think they've done a nice job balancing, not being in a position of neutral, saying, okay, we're going to back this thing up. We're going to reboot. We're going to just start building our farm. Like, I never liked that plan. And I don't know how fan bases could survive here in their organization going, we're just going to kind of stink for the next 6 to 7 years. Hang with us as we stockpile draft picks, and then our window will be X. It's one of the biggest you-know-what BS shell game that management plays with about 50% of the teams that are in the league right now, because that's what they convince their fan base of what they got to do.
Yeah. Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us. Know you're on a tight schedule. Appreciate you squeezing us in, and look forward to when you get out here to do a Giants game in San Francisco.
I think we'll be doing a few more than maybe anticipated now, so that's a good thing for me.
All right, great. I hope you love it out here, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, thanks.
Yep, John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. Among the greatest starters and among the greatest relievers.
Well, I was going to say keep him straight, but it doesn't sound like he needs any needs any help.
Looks like he's a 1-2.
No, well, like a 1-2-2.
1.2 handicap.
So that means he's scratch?
Pretty much, yeah.
Shooting par every single time?
Scratch technically is when you're a plus handicap, but he's right there. And Nick in Ohio chiming in. Bob Gibson, 68. 1.12 ERA with 22. Yeah, I know. I don't consider him in my lifetime, though. I was 5, so it was just years that I'm cognizant of. Also,
he's too old.
Also, let's not forget 1972. Evan, Steve Carlton.
Sure.
Went 20. Listen to this. 27 and 20. Get it up, Risotto. But don't cut that. 27-10, Steve Carlton. But here's the fact that is just unbelievable. The Phillies that year won 59 games. And Steve Carlton had 27 wins. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Lefty. Risotto, you ever hear of Steve Carlton?
I know who he is.
Okay.
Great slider.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically Paul Skeens.
Somebody here.
Dude, I mean, I'm serious. Like, that's the only time they can win a game is if Paul Skeens is on the mound.
Somebody on the text line said, would you trade Eldridge right now for Skeens? My first answer would be like, in a heartbeat.
I'd drive him to the train station. Or drop him off at the Sacramento International Airport. With all due respect to Eldridge. Yeah, but that's what Smoltz is talking about.
Right.
He's saying this idea of just trying to constantly revamp your prospect pool and develop these upcoming guys, like, yeah, that's all well and good. It doesn't matter if your team stinks. Like, Bryce Eldridge, in a perfect world, is going to be allowed to complement what the Giants have, maybe this season, but in the next 5 years, he can be an added bat, and they'll figure out what position he plays. But, like, yeah, if you have a chance to get Paul Skeens, which they don't, the Pirates, I don't think, will be trading Paul Skeens. But yeah, you ship them to the east side of Pennsylvania immediately.
Knees on the YouTube chat says, I'd trade Webb for Skeens. Let me ask you this.
I think Buster Posey would be hard-pressed not to.
All right, here's the real question.
Okay.
Would you trade Devers for Skeens?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
I might have to.
I think I would.
Would you really?
Dude, Skeens is... Have you watched him pitch?
I've looked at the box scores.
Yeah, you see how many low numbers in the H column there are? And how many high numbers in the K column there are?
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be a pretty good pitcher.
But who's going to pay the 200 some odd million that Devers has? And it will not be the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, they'll put him in Altoona. It'll drop his stock a little bit.
You ever been to Altoona?
I've been to Altoona tons of times. I used to broadcast out there.
What's the name of their team?
The Curve.
I like that.
Yeah, because of the valley, right?
Oh.
I think it's the way that their landscape is structured. It curves through Altoona. And so that's why they're called the Altoona Curve.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say
Altoona, but I don't know if I've ever...
Well, you have no reason to go there. It's not like there's a whole lot going
on. Pennsylvania.
You have a nice Sheetz. I'll give him that. The gas station. Now, Steiny.
Halfway between Pittsburgh and Harrisburg, essentially.
Yeah, it's It's beautiful out there. There's just not a whole lot else going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so from the Smoltz interview.
Yes.
And I know we got a couple minutes here. We can talk about on the other side also. What did you hear from him? Like, legitimacy. I do think that's something that a lot of analysts, people who call games, cover games, that's what they've kind of been searching for this Giants team. Just take this year. I think everybody has said at one point or not, they're a good team. But everyone's kind of been talking about them with the, but when does the other shoe drop? You know, when do they turn back into a pumpkin? I'm not saying that they're, you know, going to just all of a sudden be a sub 500 club, but like, do they have staying power? I think that's what I heard Smoltz say Devers brings to them.
Yeah. The thing that I'm curious about as it relates to Posey or any general manager or president of baseball operations is, you know, I think there are two huge things. One is, let's take a guy, you know, Posey. Half the job is putting together a team and trying to acquire the best possible players. But the other half of the equation is managing or supervising the players on the team that you have. And that's something that I want to get more into on the other side, because it feels like that's something where Posey's got some juice that, no, maybe Farhan before him didn't, but I want to get into it on the other side. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Ceremony Ford.
Driven into the gap. And nobody's there. And Devers off to the races. And he's going to stop at second. The Giants take the lead. And listen to this crowd.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports Bay Area on the call. That was Devers' first hit as a Giant, a double. And game two tonight against the Cleveland Guardians three-game series. Thanks to John Smoltz. He just joined us on 95.7 The Game. If you missed it, go download that Odyssey app, and you can hear it. He had some very positive things to say about the Giants. He's a Hall of Fame right-hander, current Fox analyst. And let me get this business done. He's going to be playing in the American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe. That's July 9th through the 13th. You can see George Kittle, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, plenty more. All three rounds are on Peacock, and all NBC and Golf Channel coverage can be found on the NBC Sports app. If you want tickets, go to AmericanCenturyChampionship.com. And John's right. It's a star-studded event, and for the most part, the players are accessible. Up there and see them at the craps table and see them walking around and might even say hi.
We should go.
I've been there. I have. I've been there.
That's not what he said.
I've been there covering it as an event, as a journalist, and I'm in the area sometimes golfing at other places.
Steiny.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He didn't ask you if you'd been, because I and Steven have not. He was saying we should go.
The station should go.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, it wasn't an invitation to gloat. Although, I have to imagine those events are almost like more fun sometimes than covering the real sporting events themselves, because the guy, like Smoltz just sounded so chill.
He
sounded so relaxed, and he's just, yeah, that's all, talk to you guys about baseball and I'll give you a great interview. Then I'm going to go, you know, shoot a 72.
It is a great environment because you catch big time athletes usually in the off season, and they're less guarded and they're more casual, and quite frankly, you can maybe get him to say something dumb. I think this is the place where Peyton Manning said our liquored up kicker, something like that. So get up to the
any top. Niners? Oh, Kittle's there, right?
Yeah. Oh, and of course,
probably Purdy,
Kittle, Rice, Steve Young. And the 49, you know what? This guy's starting to be like the 49ers version of Pods.
Let me guess. Juszczyk.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Oh, no, he's where Pods can get to. I think Juszczyk, he's pretty entrenched.
Pods better end up being better than Juszczyk.
Juszczyk, 7-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying. No, Pods is busy. He's been in NHL games. He's banging the glass in Edmonton. Well, he was. They got eliminated.
Pods can dunk. Well, it's too early for him to rehab. He's had two surgeries in the offseason.
Well, so why is he slamming the glass with his cast? He might need another surgery. Oh, yeah. Dibs has the name of the surgery. I can't remember it. But, yeah, Pods is he's living his best life. He's a puckhead.
And he likes the Valkyries. I'll bet you he'll be at Chase tomorrow.
I feel 100%. 99% you know positive he'll be there tomorrow.
This is, you know what, I'm sorry.
What?
This is when you find out about the players, the Warriors players, because this is when you find out they're Fairweather fans. Oh, we're going to see them all there tomorrow, aren't we? Has Curry gone to one game yet this year?
So what are you calling
no,
me?
No, probably not. Maybe the first one. But, oh, you know, hey, Caitlin's in town. Now we can go to the Valkyries. That's why I got to respect Pods. I don't think he's missed a game this year. And Kuminga, he was clearly one and done.
Well, Kuminga's been, you see his latest workout video on TikTok? It's like a whole day of what he does. He's got two-a-day workouts that he goes through, his nutrition plan, his strength work, shooting, you know, cone drills, all the rest. I don't see Pods doing that. Granted, he's hurt. Pods doesn't have anything going right now besides the Valks.
But we'll also, have plenty of time to get into Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, no, we don't want to talk about him today. Are you calling me Fairweather? It's okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're going to your first game tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to my first game tomorrow.
Well, in fairness, I think you're actually going to work. You're going to do some work there. Quote, unquote, work.
A simmer.
But that's all right. It's all right. No, it'll be a great atmosphere there tomorrow. Let's go to Nick in Ohio, and then we can jump back into Buster Posey and his leadership style. Hey, Nick, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, doing good. So back when the Giants won all those championships, I was surprised that they didn't invest with all that revenue, you know, from products and, you know, everything, that they didn't really go after anybody for years. And so I'm wondering, has the ownership changed, or has Buster Posey just is a better, is he actually not so much wheeling and dealing in relating to other owners, but is he, or other GMs, but is he actually made an impression on the ownership to where Farhan couldn't, you know, because of his personality or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I think it's a great question, because I think there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, does Buster Posey seek out a trade? He finds the Devers trade, and now he's got to go into management and try to convince them? Or because he's Buster Posey, if he says we should do this, do you just do it? And like the other thing about Posey to me that's starting to come to the surface is Farhan Zaidi had acquired a reputation of not being the most personable guy in the world, not having a lot of great relationships within the organization. And I feel like the way the story went with guys going up and down between the majors and the minors, that there was an impersonal feel. But Posey, like there's something where Posey and there's a connection between the players and Posey. And I'm not saying they're all friends with him. I'm not even saying they all know him, but there's a connection and almost like an obligation to play for Buster. And I just don't get the sense that Farhan managed the players or had relationship with the players in any way that's going to look the same as the way Posey's starting to go about that part of the job.
I don't know if it's a relationship as much. Like, so, like Al Avila, when he was with Detroit, occasionally came down to see some of his top prospects. And I never met the guy, but a lot of the managers on a club that I worked for would describe him as not really being personable. And it's not that he didn't have the capacity to, but it's because he might have to trade you, or it's because he might have to cut you, or he might have to tell you in arbitration that you're not worth X amount of money. And so that's something that Posey still has to go through. Like, I don't view it so much, Steiny, as him not, or Farhan not having the relationship with players that Posey does. But there, I do think there is a different level of respect. Like, it's right. Just different when someone that is in that seat that is responsible for you has three world championships and has done it for the team that you're playing for. I do think that is, there's a different level of respect between those two guys. But I also think, too, that at least listening to Posey yesterday, I actually thought he gave us some insight into how much of a collaborative effort it was. And Steven was there, maybe he can correct me. But I heard Posey say something about, I think it was Sam Lubman, our Sam, who asked the question about how this came about. But Posey said it actually, the conversation started going on weeks ago, like 3-4 weeks ago. And he said something along the lines of, and then me and Craig talked about it the last 2 weeks. That means that I think it might have been even Zach Manassian that had kickstarted these conversations or possibilities, but Buster was the one who closed it.
Right.
Buster was the one who came in and got it in handwriting, got it done, and delivered Devers to the San Francisco Giants. But I do think that he, in his own way, his kind of presidential fashion, he was highlighting how collaborative of a trade it was. And he wasn't the only one involved in it.
Well, this is where, you know, and Guru talks about this a lot. Just because Buster Posey was a great catcher doesn't mean, you know, he's necessarily going to be a great president of baseball operations. But he's the same president of baseball operations as he was a player in terms of his demeanor and in terms of his leadership and all those kind of things. And I just think that there's a credibility there with him at the top, and it stems from his reputation as a player, but I think more important is his reputation as a person. And like, the one thing that I always believe is, if you're a true winner, or at least if you've won before, who gets the credit doesn't really matter that much. And for a guy like Buster Posey, who's probably gone to the Hall of Fame and is on his way maybe to turning this thing around here in San Francisco, you think he gives a rat's behind if it gets out that, oh yeah, Manassian did all the little stuff and Buster came in late, and that's what GMs do. They come in late. Some of them probably work the phones more than others, but like, he could care less who gets credit for getting Devers here, because he'll get as much as he needs in terms of credit. Like, he really doesn't care about credit. And that's only something we would know from having watched him his entire career here.
Well, because he has nothing to prove. But I think that's right. That's the difference between like him and a Breslow. It's like, clearly there was an ego issue in Boston between, and maybe it goes deeper than that, like the coaching staff for the front office, or the front office endeavors, or the ownership endeavors, I don't know. But clearly ego was involved there. We've heard that from Jun Lee, who we had on today. We've heard that from Jim Bowden yesterday. We've heard it from people in high places who have connections or have been in those seats before. So Buster Posey, it's like the credit is what we get to hand out. You know, the same way when the Warriors make a trade, it goes to whoever the general manager is or the owner.
Right.
It's just how it works. But that's kind of the difference, I think, between him and maybe some other people in his position, is I don't really get the sense that he does care. And it's because he's already proven everything there is to prove. He's won in college. He's been the best player in college. He's a first-round pick. He had early success with the Giants, won multiple World Series, and now he's the face of an organization that he helped bring to prominence. Like, he has nothing to prove. So when I heard that he was going to be president of baseball ops, I was naturally skeptical because he had no experience. But the one thing that you have to give him is, you have to allow him to prove that he's not good enough. Like, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. That, to me, is what Buster Posey has over a lot of people that step into his job. Whereas, I don't know, like even like the predecessor of Breslow, Kime Bloom in Boston, you don't really know a whole lot about him. Like guys that get those jobs generally don't have the cachet that Posey does, and so they have to prove it. Buster Posey has nothing to prove. And so far, I have no reason to believe that he won't be good at this job.
No. And the, you know, the other thing, and Keith Law got into this a little bit yesterday of The Athletic, and it's, and I don't know how you felt about Posey, but as he was wrapping up his career, my thought was, let me tell you something. When this guy retires, he's going to vanish. He's going to go back to Georgia, and he's going to live his life with his family. He's got the, you know, the children's cancer charity that he's really into. But he struck me as somebody that was going to walk away from the game and not really think twice about it and just get on with his life. So the fact that he is now, you know, the president of baseball operations, it tells me that it was something he clearly really wanted. And okay, so why in theory, if, and I could just have been wrong, just bear with me for a minute. If he gets out of, if he's done with his playing career and he's thinking he's going to walk away from the game, and maybe he did feel that way at the time, but I do think there was something about him watching the Giants a little bit from afar and feeling like they were getting away from some of the core things that he'd always been a part of here. And I just think that over a period of time, he thought to himself, you know what? If I don't like what's going on here, then I got to try to do it myself because I think I can have that opportunity. So when Keith Law said that yesterday about he doesn't have to do this, I think he's right. And I think maybe that's why we see fewer Hall of Fame type guys in a role like this than you know, maybe just guys who played in the league for 8-10 years.
Well, also because it's hard. I mean, it's not like, you know, what you're signing up for is not just the suits and press conferences that we saw yesterday. You're signing up for a lot of minutia, and I'm sure he has people to help him with that, but at the end of the day, Posey's not just a spokesperson for the team. Like, and this is from Andrew Bagley's article yesterday. It appears that Posey was the one who brought up the idea of Devers. And I also wonder, too, it's like, so Manassian, for example, has been with the club, he said, for what, 7 years?
Yeah.
There's all these front office members in baseball who have been around for a long time. So I have to imagine most of them knew that there were issues in Boston, and Devers, it was reported, wasn't shopped, but there were teams that inquired about it. I wonder if one of the reasons that Posey suggested it to the rest of his staff is because, almost because he doesn't really have any experience. Like, he doesn't have this thought process of, well, I mean, we can't get that guy. Like, almost, he's allowed to be more imaginative because he's closer removed to being a player than he is a front office member. Like, he can think outside the box because he hasn't been in that world for very long. So, and I don't know if that's the case, but I'm spitballing here. Like, in a way, it kind of makes sense that Posey would be the one to suggest the idea that Manassian goes to the Red Sox, irons out the kind of the framework, and then Posey comes in and closes, because Posey's like, all right, we need a bat. Who out there can we get? Well, this guy's got a little bit of trouble. What about him? And they're like, huh, well, now that you mention it, actually, let me make a phone call.
Right.
You know, it's as opposed to Farhan, who's, or I don't want to say Farhan, but he's the guy who preceded him, thinking, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he's probably not going to be available till the deadline. We don't even need to, make, to like, we don't have to make a phone call.
I look at it as though one of two things. If that's true about Posey, he either knew, okay, he either was reading what's going on in Boston and saw Devers wanted to play third, and then he said he didn't want to play first. And at that moment, while maybe the rest of the baseball world is saying, oh, there's some stuff going on in Boston. Like, maybe Buster Posey, just by the way it sounded, knew that's a problem. They got a problem in Boston with Devers. Or the other thing would be he does have a ton of contacts. He does make a lot of phone calls, and maybe he realized maybe more quickly than other owners or general managers that there is a real issue in Boston, because I'm hearing about it more and more. So if there's an issue in Boston, you know, let's kind of get on our horse here and at least be the first to find out if this guy's available or not.
Well, the thing I find interesting too, if the talks indeed happened beginning a month ago, that would put them still 6 or 7 games above 500 where they were in the season. So Posey was looking at kind of the, remember, like they started out 8-1, 12-4, and then they'd been like this holding pattern.
Yep.
From 12-4 to 26-19, which hypothetically could have been a date that they reached out. Like, he's seeing that his team got off to a good start, believes is a quality club, but we're missing something. We're missing, what is it? It's a bat. That's why we're stuck here. Our pitching is good enough to keep us, you know, slump proof, basically. We're not going into a nosedive. We also can't really get out of this. And then 2 weeks later, you run into the Miami series where you get beat 1-0. The Padres loss 1-0. Like, and at that point, then the heat really turns up, and we got to get this done. I also think it was interesting, one of the nuggets in there was they refused to include Eldridge, which is funny because Bowden yesterday said that one of the negligent parts from the Boston side of this was you have to get Eldridge. And if you had waited until the deadline when teams get under the gun, I don't know if Posey would. You know, it seems like San Francisco is very high on him and believes he can be the next big bopper. But it's like, if you're closer to the deadline, you got a better shot of getting the guy you really want. And you don't have to do anything so soon. So, I mean, I guess it just became so toxic that they had to move Devers. But it's, I don't know, I think it's fascinating the way that Posey was able to pull this off.
No doubt about it. Big Bat is now in San Francisco. The one here, you remember, how old were you when the Warriors acquired Baron Davis in like 2005-06?
I would have been 11.
Okay. The more I think about it, that's what this reminds me of a little bit. So Baron Davis was in Charlotte, you know, had a good start to his career, and then he was in New Orleans, and, you know, he was banged up a lot, and he got a reputation of being a diva. You know, wasn't durable. Everything kind of needed to be right. One of, you know, high maintenance, one of those guys. Well, the Warriors weren't very good. And Baron Davis became available for a very modest price because of his reputation. And Chris Mullin looked at the Golden State Warriors, and I'm sure just like Buster Posey was looking at the Giants and said, we need talent in here. We've got to get players who are more talented. And it just so happened Baron Davis's value was low for his reasons, and Devers' value was low for his. The Warriors ended up getting Baron Davis, and you know what followed was a playoff appearance and a 48-win season. And there's also something about guys like Mullen and Posey who've played, knowing that what's in a clubhouse or locker room already ain't it. And it's not going to be it if you don't do anything.
Or they know that there is something, but there's like a missing piece.
Sure, sure.
You know, I ran this by you. I know we're right up against it. But, I mean, to me, this, the more I think about it, like the NBA comp that I would put this towards would actually be like Pascal Siakam. I don't think a lot of people believe that Pascal Siakam is one of the greatest players in the league, but every team he's been on, he's positively impacted. He won a championship early in his career like Devers did. He gets traded to Indiana. They immediately get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's the second best, or sometimes on a good night, best player on a team this year that's gotten to the NBA Finals. They paid him immediately. You know, they didn't give up a ton to Toronto to get him, and he's just a solid player. Like, I know there's no perfect comparison, but the more I was watching Game 4 and thinking about Devers, I'm just like, I think he's Siakam.
Mm.
And Indiana hasn't been beaten yet. Well, Giants lost last night, but the point stands.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad call. It's because Siakam is one of those guys who, He wins, too. That segment, ladies and gentlemen, was brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. Are you traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport. Most nonstop flights from the Bay, easy parking, live performances, and tasty food. Why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.